Chapter 3 tonight. How about that? We're rolling right along. You can make your way over there with me. We're going to be in verse 10, 11, and 12 tonight. We'll take our cue from Tony Bennett. Oh, the good life. First Peter 3, verse 10, for he that will love life. Look at that. It's in your Bible. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He that will love life. You know, actually, this is a quote directly from Psalms 34. Psalms 34 says these very same things. It states it a little bit different in the Psalms. I'm going to turn over there and just read the Psalms. Psalms 34 and I'm going to begin in verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So Peter takes his cue directly from Psalms, and he cites this passage. It's interesting, in Psalms 34, in verse 12, one version translates it this way: do you want to enjoy life? Do you want to have many happy days? You see, the Psalms passage adds to what Peter said, adds to it longevity, you know, length of days, long days. Do you want to have a meaningful life? That's the idea. Fulfilling life, a happy life, a joyful life. To love life. Do you want to love life and see many days? Have a blessed life. Who doesn't want that? I read a YouGov poll. It's a government website, but it was a poll on, I guess it just deals with people's well-being, the thinking of the American public and all of that. And it was a questionnaire about what they valued in life, what they thought was important. This poll dates back to 2016. And it asked questions about, how important is it for you to be an achiever, to really achieve important things, to accomplish important things, you know, maybe to be a leader among men, to have esteem and so forth. 81% of the American public that responded from across all ages and all races, 81%, this is what they said: we just want to be happy. They weren't worried about how much they achieved, how much they accomplished. They weren't even worried about whether they were in the upper echelon of wage earners. What they wanted was just to be happy. And to them, 81% of Americans, what that meant was, we don't want to live a high-stress life. Because, you know, if you live a high-stress life, it can be a tough life. You know, years ago, I realized that people across the world are pretty much the same in ways that we perhaps don't even consider. Whether you are an American, an Englishman, an African, a European, no matter where you live, it doesn't matter what race you are, it doesn't matter even in this sense what religion people are. Basically, you know what they want? They want to live a decent life. I just want to live a decent life. I want to have enough to provide for my family. I want to live somewhere where it's safe. I want to have enough to eat for myself and my family. I don't want to be worried all the time, stressed all the time. That's what people want. They want the basics of life and just to be safe, really, just to feel safe. Not everybody has that, unfortunately, but in the American Declaration of Independence, there's a interesting clause at the beginning of it. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Truths that we hold to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that people can, these rights cannot be stripped away from them. Among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, somebody needs to remind the pro-abortion group that life is an inalienable right. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, I think many people pursue happiness in all the wrong places, all the wrong ways, and all the wrong places. Tonight, we're going to look at these three verses in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's remember they're written to Christians. This is written to the believer, to the Christian church. So they apply to those who are already men and women of faith. Men and women of faith in Christ, right? And in these three verses, I want to give you five keys. Five keys to a blessed life, according to Peter. Or how to live a good life. How to live a good life. Very simple. This is so simple, most people just read over it and don't even think about it. But tonight I want us to think about it. How to live a good life. Number one, you have to choose to. You have to choose. How can I live a good life? Choose to. And you can choose to. You actually can. For he that will love life, that's what Peter says, for he that will love life. Williams translates that little phrase, whosoever wants to enjoy life. Whosoever want, do you want to enjoy life? Or you just want to be miserable? Do you want to have a good life, or you want to just not? Another version translates it, he who wills to enjoy life. He who wills to. We have to want to. We have to choose to. We have to, well, the fact is we do have a choice in the matter. We have a choice to make. Life can be a drudgery. Life can be a joy. It's not always determined by your circumstances. It is determined by your attitude towards your circumstances. And that's not just motivational talk there. It's just a fact. Life can be a gloomy prospect, or can be a hopeful prospect. But I believe you and I have to realize that life is to be appreciated. And that we have to choose joy, and we have to choose it every day. You can walk out of your house with a bad attitude, grumbling and snarling and complaining, or you can choose joy on a daily basis and choose to be thankful and appreciative. I was just thinking today how much we have to appreciate a gracious God who's given us, even in a fallen world. I mean, this world is fallen, but even in a fallen world, it's full of rich color. It's full of beautiful sounds. And if you just listen, you hear the birds singing, they're not grumbling and complaining. I mean, they don't know what they're going to eat tomorrow, but they don't worry. They're singing. They're happy. They're enjoying the day. The sounds, the smells, the voices of people, even that. You know, you have the privilege to hear people talk, to hear their voices. That's a privilege. I mean, even watching a bug crawl across the sidewalk. And, hey. Now, yeah, the bug man agrees. You can enjoy the life that you have, the sounds of nature, and enjoy being around people. Or you can be the biggest grouch and sourpuss and grumbling, complaining, that you walk around and bring your own cloud with you. You know, it's just, you can enjoy life. Or you know what else you can do? You can do like some others do, and they try to escape life. You know, like the addict, the alcoholic, the pill popper. They just want to escape. Go ahead, Dave. You got a comment or a question? We'll get you a microphone.
There's a very short saying that goes with that. You know, my dad used to really complain in his latter days, and I had heard this. I said, "Dad, wherever you go, there you are."
That's right.
So you bring your own happiness or sorrow.
That's right. And you know, surprisingly, it has little to do with your circumstances. Because some of the people who have just been the happiest, the most victorious, and joy, so full of joy, have been people whose circumstances were not so good. And yet they kept such a joyful attitude, outlook. People going through terrible difficulties. You see people struggling with disabilities, and positive attitudes. I've told y'all before about an old friend of mine named Chip Lemoyne. Chip had a rough time in life. He was blind when he was very young. And the guy was never, ever down or depressed. We'd get together with him. We'd try and cheer him up. He wound up cheering us up. That's just the way he was. Every time I left him, I felt convicted. I really did, because the guy was such a positive influence on everybody around him. He went to be with the Lord very young, but you know, so did many others. David Brainerd, the Lord Jesus. When you think about the ability to choose, to just, you know, I'm not going to let myself be a grump. I'm not going to let myself complain. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bring my own cloud with me everywhere I go, unless it's a glory cloud, right? Just, and one of the ways we do this, one of the ways that we actually choose to be joyful, is to remember that the God you serve reigns and rules over all the universe. Amen. And you know, when you remind yourself that my God reigns and rules, what am I worried about, fretting about, nervous about, anxious about, upset about? We can just trust Him. Amen. You don't even have to know why you're going through the trials you're going through. You don't have to know that. You do have to know that God will be with you every step of your journey, and He'll see you through, He'll see you through to the other side. You don't have to have answers. Why am I going through these difficulties? You do have to have faith to trust the Lord that He'll bring you through. And He will. He always does. You want to enjoy life? Well, faith is, let me tell you, you're not going to enjoy this life apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, because we have such assurances, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What confidence, what assurance, what peace that gives us, right? My God will fill your every need. That's how one version translates that. My God will fill your every need. You will lack nothing. And if you worry and you wonder about, well, why is my life so up and down like this? It's such radical turns, ups, downs. It's like a roller coaster. Let me remind you, there are people who pay good money to ride on a roller coaster. There are people who will travel all over the country and all over the world to ride on the scariest, hairiest, insanest roller coaster so that it will scare them to death. That's what they do. Life will give you that for free. You just have to trust the Lord. And can I also remind you that according to the Bible, life is a gift from God. That gift is not to be unappreciated. In fact, it's to be very much appreciated. When Paul spoke at Mars Hill to all of those Athenian philosophers who were up there, you know, the Bible says they would get together and they would just pontificate and consider some new thing. That's all they would do. Paul said, I'm going to declare to you the God that you don't know. He said, the God that wasn't made with hands and doesn't dwell in temples, seeing that He's the Lord of heaven and earth. And he said, He's not worshipped with men's hands. And seeing that He gives to all life and breath and all things. He gives to all life. Life is a gift. He gives to all life and breath. I remind Him, Lord, You promised us breath and all things, all that we need. So life is a gift. It's God's gift. Let's remind ourselves to appreciate God's gift and to be thankful for it and to express our gratitude to Him for it. And, you know, let's quit complaining and grumbling and mumbling. And like I heard somebody say a long time ago, trials, troubles, difficulties. Look, this comes with life. But misery, well, that's optional. You can choose misery or you can choose to enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. All right, number two, talking about keys. Keys to a happy life. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life. You want to love life? And see good days. Who wants to see good days? Let him, or her, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Okay, so the second key is control your mouth. Get a grip on your lip. Yes, sir.
At the time, there was no Twitter, but that would include your fingers, too.
You're right. Of all the things Peter could have said, if you want to love life, if you want to really have a good life, then save your money. Save for a rainy day. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said at all. Or invest wisely, or always wear clean underwear, you know, like your mama would say. No, here's what he said. You want to enjoy life, you want to have a blessed life, then stop talking. You have to know when to stop talking. stop talking. You have to know when to be quiet. You have to know when to speak, but you also have to know it's time to shut up now. Time to shut up. Psalms 141. Let me give you a couple of verses. Psalms 141 and verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over my lips. That's a good prayer. Put guards at my mouth, Lord. That's actually the prayer. Put guards. Station guards at my mouth. So every time I get ready to say something stupid, they'll slap me. Yeah. Snap me with a rubber band. Psalms 39 and verse 1 says, I said I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. The New King James translates it this way. This is, again, Psalms 39:1. I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. A muzzle. Now, you know, you put a muzzle over a dog you can't control. It's going to snarl, it's going to bite, or it's going to bark. He said, I'll put a muzzle over my mouth just so I don't say stupid stuff. Say things, you know, sinful stuff, things I shouldn't be saying. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth except what is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29, that was my dad's, that was his flagship verse. And he lived it. He really did. When you got in his car, Dad had 3x5 cards taped on everything. That was before sticky notes, I guess. But 3x5 cards, and he had scripture verses on them. But the main one, Ephesians 4:29, also had it taped by the phone. Back in those days, the phone was on the wall, you know. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt, the word corrupt means rotten. You know, corrupt, sinful is what it would amount to. Brian, get your mic.
It's something I remember.
Put it right by your mouth.
Hello, hello.
There you go.
Okay. Something I remember about your dad is that, something I remember about Uncle Sal is that, he was always, regardless of what's happening, it was hallelujah anyway.
That's right.
You know, hallelujah. And y'all had a little bird.
Yeah.
And that little bird listened to Uncle Sal and everything he said. And when Uncle Sal would walk into the door, walking through the door, the bird would start up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He did. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
The bird learned it from somewhere.
Yeah. Sure did. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. All right, here's a very important verse to go along with this. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. I want you to consider this one very carefully. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. That is, there lacks no sin. In the multitude of words, there lacks no sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Now, This is a very, very important verse because it lets you know the more you speak, the more likely you are to sin. The more you speak, the more likely you are to sin, because the more you say, the more likely you are to go into the realm of sinfulness, whether it's criticism, harshness, pride, or any other thing that we do with our mouth. The more you say, the more likely you are to sin. You just tend to say things you shouldn't, you know, whether it's harsh, judgmental, critical. So, he that refraineth his lips is wise. What this, in our modern speech, it would simply be the wise speak less. You want to be wise? Say less. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Now look, this is what the Bible says. You want to live a good life? It's really this simple. Because this mouth is what gets us in so much trouble. We say what we ought not. We say it in a way we ought not. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Yes, Lord. Then, of course, you've got the very powerful and sober warnings of James chapter 3 that are just a couple of pages to your left, which I might take a second to read. Just because we should. James chapter 3. James 3, we'll read a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. We can stumble, we can err, we can fail, we can, you know, do things we shouldn't. And he says here, if any man offends not in word, the same as a mature man, able to bridle his whole body. So, maturity is actually marked by your ability to govern your mouth, according to the scripture. We put bits in a horse's mouth, and we can control a horse with a little bit in its mouth. We have a little rudder that controls the direction of a huge ship. Well, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Look how great a matter a little fire kindles. One little match can burn down a forest. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. You know, James could have said other things here. He could have talked about how the tongue can be such an instrument of edification, but he's pointing out the destructive nature of our tongue, our words, our mouth. It defiles the whole body and is set on fire. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Hell lights the flame. Every kind of beast and birds and serpents, things in the sea, can be tamed and has been tamed. But the tongue, you're going to need the Holy Ghost to tame that thing. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. That's powerful language, you know. Very graphic language. It's full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. Therewith we curse men that are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, It ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. So, you want to love life. You want to have a good life. Get a grip on your tongue. Control your tongue. Bridle your tongue. Don't say it. You know when you're not supposed to talk. And you know that everything in you wants to say it. Everything in you wants to justify yourself. Yeah, that's called the flesh. That's right. Dave, go ahead.
Abraham Lincoln had a quote that's kind of like that. He said, "I'd rather be silent and be thought a fool than to open my mouth and remove all doubt."
Yeah, that's right. All right, number three. Number three, we want to enjoy life, really have a blessed life. Turn away from evil. Turn away from evil and do good. That's 1 Peter 3 and verse 11. Let him eschew evil, 1 Peter 3:11. Eschew, King James word, what it means is to avoid. Literally, it means to avoid or turn away from or abstain from. It means all of those things. You could even say it means to hate evil, because you're going to avoid what you hate. Let him turn away from evil. Avoid evil. The Bible talks about those in Romans that you're to mark those who cause divisions contrary to the doctrine that you've learned and avoid them. Well, it's the same word, avoid, right here. Eschew means avoid. Stay away from everything that is evil, sinful, vile, corrupt, polluting, anything that is erroneous, anything that is liable to drag you into ungodly behavior or thinking or words, avoid it. Turn away from it. And here's an important thought when it comes to turning away from evil. Make sure your definition of evil is the same as God's definition of evil. Because sometimes we make up our own definitions, you know. Well, I don't think that that's evil. Just, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, or what I don't think that's evil. Other people think it's evil. I don't think that's evil. Well, make sure your definition is God's definition. If God says it's evil, that's right. If he says it's evil, it's evil. But there are people who justify many things that God condemns. And they will say that they don't think there's anything wrong with it. God condemns it. I mean, look, we can make a long list here of occult practices, ungodly practices, and people will justify it and say, well, I don't think that's evil. Well, according to the Bible, it's evil. According to the Bible, witchcraft's evil. It's even evil on Halloween. It's even evil if you dress up little Johnny and little Sally to look like witches, ghouls, demons, and vampires, and whatever else, or if they dressed up like little Bo Peep. If God calls it evil, if it's an occult celebration, it's evil. Well, make sure that if you really want to have a blessed life, then do not indulge in the things that God considers evil, because you will not be blessed. And they will not make you happy. They will make you miserable. Inevitably, God's not going to bless the sinful, the rebellious, the defiant. He doesn't say we'll have a life free from trial and trouble, but we will have a life that will be fulfilling and filled with joy even in the midst of trial. So remember, trials and troubles, they just come standard with life. It's standard equipment. You know, it's like when you buy a car, there's standard equipment, then there's optional equipment. The standard equipment, when you get a life, trial, trouble, sorrow, difficulty, pain, suffering, tears. It's standard equipment. Optional equipment, that would be misery, complaining, grumbling, you know, that's optional. You can check that box if you want, or you can leave it blank. Do everything you can. This is the idea, to avoid evil. You that love the Lord, Psalms 97:10. Listen to these instructions. You that love the Lord, hate evil. That's what the Bible says. You that love the Lord, Psalms 97, verse 10, hate evil. When you hate things, you avoid it for sure.
That's right.
If you hate broccoli, you don't even want it touching your peas or your potatoes. I don't even want it next to it. I don't even want to see it.
I don't want to smell it.
Says the man who eats dragonflies.
They smell good.
They smell good. praise God. We know that we avoid things that the Lord hates, right? You wonder what the Lord hates? Just look it up in the Bible. It'll tell you. These six things does the Lord hate? Seven are an abomination, Proverbs 6. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that are swift running to mischief. And, well, false witness, and he that sows discord among brethren. So, avoid evil, and look, here's what else he says, 1 Peter 3, and do what is good. Verse 11. 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let us do good. Doing good simply means do what's right. Do the right thing. You want to be blessed? Do what's right. Sometimes it costs you more to do the right thing, but you know, you'll be blessed for the doing of it. Do good. Be helpful. Be a blessing. Do what servants do. And when you do good, you don't do it for personal vainglory, or you don't do it for recognition. You do it unto the Lord, and you do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Like the Lord said, when you do your good deeds, don't do like the hypocrites. You know, they sound the trumpets. They want everybody to see all the good things they do. Don't be like them. He said, you do your good deeds in secret, the Lord will bless you openly. So what we do for the eyes of the Lord and not unto men. It's not for public approval. All right, number four, 1 Peter chapter 3, let him eschew evil and do good. And then he says, here's the fourth key to a good life, be a peacemaker. Let him seek peace and ensue it, or the Greek word means to pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Be a peacemaker. Bring peace. Bring peace, not war. Do not bring war, bring peace. I'm talking about in your church, in your family, pursue peace. Look with me again to verse 11. Because I want us to notice the structure of this sentence. Remember, he said, if you will love life, you want to see good days. If that's what you want, then let him, let the one who wants to enjoy his life or her life, the one who wants to have a good life and a long life and a blessed life, let him seek peace and pursue it. The Greek is very insistent. It's very adamant. In fact, I think it's Robertson, A.T. Robertson said, he must seek peace. He must. It's adamant. We must be peace seekers. We must pursue peace. We must go after it. We can't be passive about it. We can't take the attitude, well, if there's ever going to be peace, you know, it'll just eventually have to happen. No, we must personally pursue it. That's the idea. You take the initiative and go after it. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. as much as lieth in you, as much as it depends on you, Romans 12:18. That is, on your side, don't let anything hinder you from seeking peace and reconciliation with others. Don't allow these divisions and schisms to go on and on and on. You do whatever you can on your side, as far as your side is concerned, to make peace. Y'all awake? You be the peacemaker. Now look, you can ignore all of this. Most people do. But according to the Bible, if you want to love life and have a good life, you want to have peace in your heart, and shut up. Quit excusing what you do and why you do it. Seek peace. And to seek peace, you know what's going to require from you? Humility. Because you know the number one thing that keeps us from seeking peace? Pride. Our own pride, our own ego. We won't go, we won't apologize, we won't admit wrong. We got to stand up for our self because we were disrespected or mistreated. No? Yes. I'm sorry. Oh.
I just couldn't help thinking about what you said about the seek peace. Right this time of the year, don't become a politician.
Or any other time of the year.
Yeah.
Let him seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. But, you know, if you enjoy being miserable, don't do anything. But if you want to enjoy life, have a good life, then these are the keys that Peter gives us. You don't have to change anything. You know the old expression, change nothing and nothing changes. All right, one last thing. And that's verse 12. Let's remember, not only are we to do good, but let's remember that God is actively and continually opposed to those who do evil. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. What a great, great promise. His eyes are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The face of the Lord is against them. You know what it means? God is standing in opposition to them. He is opposing them. He's not on your side when you're doing evil. He is opposing you. He's like the opposing army. His face is set against you. He opposes everyone who does evil. There's no peace to the wicked, the Bible says. No peace to the evildoer. He opposes all who do wrong. How can you have a good life? How can you really have a good life when God is opposing you? You cannot. You cannot. You cannot have a peaceful life, a joyful life, when God has set himself in opposition to you. And you know, when God is for you, I mean, who can be against you? But when God is against you, it doesn't matter who's on your side. You lose. When God's against you, that's a terrible place to be. Now, you know, this is just, look, very simple. Simple keys to living a good life. He that will love life. Life doesn't have to be in misery. It isn't to be dreaded. We're not to wake up and say, oh no, another day, I got another day to suffer through. There's so many things that you can be blessed by each and every day. Let's be a thankful people, a grateful people. That's right. He that will love life and see good days, and as Psalm says, many days. And he says, let him refrain his lips from evil, that he speaks no guile, eschew evil, avoid evil, do good, be a peacemaker, seek peace, pursue it, and remember always, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are always open to your prayers, always. He will never stop up his ears to your prayers. But, circle, underline, highlight, but, the face of the Lord is opposed to those. It's against those who do evil. You got this picture of opposition. God's with you when you do right, but God opposes you when you do wrong. Remember, God's never going to be on the side of evil doing. No. Never, ever. Amen. And you don't want... You know, I was thinking the other day about these guys playing NFL football, 280 pounds, 310 pounds, and they're lining up face to face, right across the line from a guy that's even bigger than them. And their goal is to punish this guy, pushing backwards, knocking down, you know. They're opposed. They're opposing. That's why they're looking at each other face to face. Now, if you're with somebody, they're standing next to you, and you look in the same way. You know, you're with those guys. But when you oppose them, and then, you know, I was thinking about our brother Mitchell, yeah. Now, he's a lineman, you know. Lining up next to these great, big, enormous human beings. And then think about this. Suppose you are lined up and the person or the one opposing you is God himself, God Almighty. Because he lines up in array against those who do evil. Oh, you're about to be steamrolled. Yeah. 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 You. God help us. Lord, we want to be on your side. Amen, amen. Well, we'll quit there tonight. Father, we pray that you help us to remember these simple keys to a good life. We want to live a good life, a godly life, a fulfilling life. And Lord, we know it's in governing ourselves, governing our flesh, governing our temple, our temper, controlling our speech and our actions and our thoughts. All of this, Lord, help us, we pray, that we might honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God.